You're listening to The B-Side, a podcast of Blessed Hope Community Church. Hey, this is Malia, your host as usual, and today I'm joined by my two co-hosts, Pastor David.
Hello.
And Pastor Tyler.
Hello.
It just has a nice ring to it.
Oh, thanks.
I know you said like it's been hard to kind of get used to, but it's exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
So we are at the time of recording. We are nearing Christmas Eve and Christmas.
Less than a week away for Christmas Eve.
Yes, but I feel like we do such a good job of planning in advance for these holidays and these special events that now it's like just some last minute things, but otherwise, like, I feel super ready. Do you feel
confident and ready? No. No.
Same.
I don't.
Yeah. How are things looking on the praise team front for Christmas Eve?
I'm glad we have more time to practice. But I'm confident that we'll get there. My experience has been, regardless how practice goes, man, it just comes together.
It really does.
Yeah. And I was really encouraged this week. I had two people tell me, like, you guys were killing it up there on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And that's the first, like, feedback that I've gotten.
Nice.
And it was, yeah, really positive. Tim said the hair on my arms was, you know, standing up. I forget how he said it. My meter was pegged or something like that. It was really funny the way he put it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It just always comes together, and I'm thankful for that.
It does. When it comes to Christmas Eve, music is not my concern. I think every year, it's awesome. You can never judge what our Christmas Eve service is going to look like by the first practice, because it's chaos. Mm-hmm. Not in a bad sense, but it's just a lot of songs and, you know, trying to figure everything out. But that's not my... It's all the other stuff. It's all the working parts that people have no really concept of unless you're part of it. And so
making sure there's enough seats and just creating that welcoming, because there's going to be visitors and you know, first time visitors and family visitors. Just creating that's a big task.
Yeah. Is this the first time we've done two services for Christmas Eve?
Since I've ever been.
Because we did do Christmas Eve at Tilford for a couple years. Yep. So we had more seating, so you didn't have to worry about it. But yeah, okay, that's what I was thinking too. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see are they going to be equally attended? You know, going to be super packed and one going to be light? Like,
I'm going to say it on this Sunday. I'm going to write a note and try to remember to really do this. But if anybody's listening to this now from our church, I want to encourage our church people to we're inviting people in, so we need to make it about them, not about us. And one of the things I would encourage us as a church is, let's say you come to the 6:30 service and it's full.
Six, 7:30.
If you come to the 6 o'clock service and it's full, don't sit there and say, well, I guess we're not. Maybe say, okay, let's just go home. We'll come back for the 7:30. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think we need to, and I know that doesn't work for everybody, but I'm encouraging those that it does to have that mindset with it, to have the mindset of, oh, we're full, maybe I can give up my seat and I'll be the one to... And we have some people that are great at that, but it's just encouraged. Because that's the awkwardness about it, right? Is how many people are going to say, I'm going to the 6 o'clock.
Right.
And it gets really full. Mm-hmm. And I think we just need to be prepared to say, well, I might need to come back for the 7:30.
Right. Or maybe even in advance be thinking like, I think the 6 might be fuller, so I'm going to make this decision to go to the 7:30 because... You know, we don't have stuff going on or whatever.
Yeah, so it's one of those things that it causes anxiety. You don't know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it just, God works it out. And that's where the trust, because at the end of the night, we'll sit there and say, wow, that really worked great. You know, and so it's reminding us, but that's my encouragement to us as a church, is be prepared to put others first, because we want them to, you know, feel welcomed as our guest. And because I get it. I know a lot of times even some of our church people will come and they're dedicating two whole rows because they know they got, and I get it, you got family coming, right? Uh-huh. And so your family, if they don't attend here, they're our guests, so they're part of that. But I'm just saying, for anybody that, you know. So anyways.
No, that's great. encouragement and advice.
Yeah. I mean, I'll give up my seat.
Yep. Same.
Because
I don't usually sit down.
I say I'll be up front the whole time. So. Let me give up my seat.
All right. So we are wrapping up our Revelation series this Sunday.
Maybe.
Why do you say that?
Well, because go with the flow, right?
Yeah.
Who knows where the Spirit will lead?
Stop.
Maybe he'll say, just preach on this one verse, David. Stop. And then. You never know.
People, do you see what I have to work with all the time?
Yes. Somebody that's tender to hearing the Spirit's leading. As the wind blows, so the Spirit leads.
Yes. Yes.
No, the intention is we will finish.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. And so with the holidays coming up next week, we decided that even though you won't be preaching on the very end of Revelation until Sunday. Mm-hmm. We're not planning a podcast next week because of Christmas. So we're just going to finish our podcasting out for the series today.
Yeah, we're going to get it done.
Final
episode of 2024.
Yes. So I apologize too. Gosh, I think we're all like at the tail end of colds or something because we're all coughing this morning. So we are looking at Revelation chapter 21. 9 through 27, and then all of chapter 22.
Yeah.
So, I didn't have like I didn't walk away with a ton of questions from this past Sunday with the end of chapter 21. I did really appreciate you bringing up that like the things that are counted as most precious here, like gold, are what God uses as common building materials. And so I'm like, that is just a really cool picture because we do, the things that we treasure and value here are so meaningless in our eternity. And so I think that's really good. But then as I was reading that passage and it was, you know, very reminiscent of Exodus and with all the measuring and things like that, I cannot help but think of Bob Simnocker and his stick that he uses to measure the chairs in the sanctuary, which he doesn't do anymore, but we still have the stick, right?
We have two of them.
Oh, we have two. But that's the image that kept coming up in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The big one that I hope came across on Sunday for me is, and I kind of took a section of the scripture and made this bulk thing with it, but of course it's going to be full of God's glory, and it's going to be, I talked about the boundaries and the measuring and all that, but the biggest thing for me is the mind, how it's mind-boggling to me what this is going to look like, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the amusement part of it, like this idea of anybody that's not excited to experience what God has prepared for us has no concept of amusement, because I think there's going to be many things that we're just going to be like, what is that? I mean, I'm picturing, and again, I can't prove this from scripture, but I'm picturing, I said it a little bit on Sunday, I wouldn't be surprised if God creates new colors. I'm not surprised if God creates new animals and creation of things that we've never, you know, he's unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we try to vision heaven, when we view heaven through the limited creation we have now, it's unfortunate because there's going to be so much that we've never even
laid eyes on. I don't know if we talked about this before during this series, maybe, but I always think about, because here's the thing, the world is beautiful. There are a lot of beautiful places to go visit and see. Heck, even I think, you know, when you're coming into town and you see like the rolling fields and like they're beautiful. Mm. And we love the mountains. We love going to Colorado. And even the most beautiful thing there is still tainted and marred by sin. Mm-hmm. And a fallen world. And so like just to wrap your head around that there is going to be God's creation that isn't, like, there's no way we can even fathom what that will be like or look like.
Oh, by no means. You know, I mean, there's other things. Just as I'm looking at my Bible, I didn't talk about this much on Sunday, but the Bible tells us that there's 12 gates to the city and they're pearls, not made of pearl, like pearls. They are a pearl. Like each gate is a pearl.
Hmm.
That's a big pearl.
Yeah.
A pearl. So even that is mind-boggling to me of thinking of this gate that is a pearl, you know. And so But what's funny about it is, you know, we say things, well, we're going to see the pearly gates, you know, mm-hmm. and you hear that. Mm-hmm. But no, there's going to be pearly gates. There's multiple gates, but each gate is one pearl. I mean, it's just
10-4.
It's just crazy to think about, you know, and yeah, I can't imagine John's reaction to it, mm-hmm. you know, because we're going to see it in our glorified state. Like, we're going to see it after we've been glorified and we've already seen the glory of God. We've already experienced the presence of God. And then we're going to see this. He's seeing this as if we were seeing it now. And I can't even imagine what his.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
I like the way you put it when you said he's trying to describe the undescribable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, how can we put it into, how can we put it into words that we understand and in colors that we see?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's the undescribable.
Yeah. So I think 21 is the message of 21 is don't miss it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's kind of the thing is don't miss it. If you choose wrong, you're never going to see it. Like, this is something that unbelievers will never lay eyes on. Only believers in Christ will see this, you know. And
mm-hmm.
I think that's the intention behind it is choose wisely, right? Don't choose poorly. And I want to make sure I see this. And not for many reasons. One, of course, that's where I want my eternal home to be. So, of course, I want to see it. But two, you never want to be the guy, like, you don't want to be the guy to miss out, and I don't want to miss out on seeing these things, so.
Yeah. Tyler, did you have any questions walking away from the sermon on Sunday?
Gosh, nothing comes directly to mind.
Look at that. You were clear, super clear.
Yeah, see, you did just did such a great job.
Well, he's trying to remember the sermon.
That's too funny.
I
was too worried about stepping on my cord right after the service and unplugged my guitar and
that's too funny.
That caught all of my attention. Just then I forgot the sermon.
I get it.
If we move on to chapter 22, one thing that stuck out to me in one of the studies I did was that the tree of life that's mentioned here now again, that tree that Adam and Eve couldn't touch
mm-hmm.
because of their sin is now brought near for the healing of the nations, it says here. And I'm like it's like full circle, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So cool.
That was one of the commentaries I watched. I think it sums it up really well, is that Revelation ends where Genesis begins. So we're right back to not necessarily the garden, but Genesis does mention, like you said, the tree of life, and talks about. I don't remember the verse specifically. Genesis 3:22, the tree of life, and God talks about that they can't touch it lest they live forever. Just like you said, full circle.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming right back to that.
Mm.
Yeah. I love that everything always, to me, in a lot of circumstances in the Bible, point back to Genesis. Like, it's just so cool. Love it.
Yeah. I mean, I really have nothing to add with it. It's a beautiful imagery of mm-hmm. things. And I guess I would say the one thought is we talk about all the things we're going to see. And I think the most important thing that John declares is they will see his face, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's the most important.
Yeah.
And I still, again, that's trying to figure that out, you know, is that it's that stuff I don't want to miss out on, right?
Mm-hmm.
How am I going to see the Father? What's he going to look like? You know, what's that going to be like? You mm-hmm. know, is there Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Like, those are things that go through my mind, how that's going to work, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't want to lessen the glory of God, but it's like I think to myself, how I don't want to use the word common because it's not common, but it makes me wonder, like, how common is our interactions with Jesus going to be?
Mm-hmm.
When I say common, I mean things like are we just going to be hanging out by a fire with Jesus, you know? again, these are the things that go through my mind is how basic, you know, because sometimes I think we can, you know, have this mindset, oh yeah, Jesus will be there, but he's going to be up on his throne, you know, and we're going to be doing our thing, and he's on his throne. I was like, well, that's not how Jesus was on earth. I mean, he went to parties, he went to weddings, he went to, and so I kind of wonder that, you know, now, are we going to be playing, you know, to the big thing right now? Are we going to be playing pickleball with Jesus?
You know? Right?
I'm just saying, I mean, it's.
Maybe.
That's what I'm saying, you know, yeah. It's.
Legitimate question.
I love that.
Yeah. Again, it's not to lessen God to our level, but it shows that he's chosen to dwell with us. Mm-hmm. And so what does that look like? What does that mean?
Right.
It's something, again, don't miss it, you know.
You just mentioned the glory of God. You didn't want to lessen the glory of God. And that was part of the sermon that I really enjoyed. And being part of that the conversation that we had about that, like what is the glory of God, and I really think you did an excellent job describing that on Sunday. The glory of God is the
I don't know if this is the word, but yeah, it's just the unhindered. Like there's no
unhindered.
There's no lessening of it. It's full blast. There's
no lessening.
I mean, because that's what we have to remember. Every time God has ever shown his glory to anybody, even in Jesus, his glory had to be reduced.
Yeah.
Like he had to purposely reduce his glory. Not to lessen it, but the best way my mind can look at it, it's like on a dimmer switch. Mm. Like he had to be like, okay, we got to bring her down.
Yeah.
You can't handle full blast.
Yeah.
And
that's a really good way to put
this
it.
This is full blast glory of God. To the point that the Bible talks about there's no need for a son.
Yeah.
Which some people find that sad, but, and what I mean by that is, that means, if you think about it, that means no more sunsets, no more sunrises. Mm-hmm. But also what that means is darkness is where the unknown is. Darkness is.
It's where fear is.
It's where fear is. Mm-hmm. It's where danger is. It's where, you know, darkness is the complete opposite of the presence of God. So that's why it's saying there will be no need for sun anymore.
Yeah. A city that is never dark is a city where there's nothing to fear.
Yeah.
Like, complete can you imagine safety. To, like, live your life with zero fear?
What's lurking? What's going to attack me? What's going to come after? So there's certain things about what this is going to look like that's hard for us to wrap our brains around. But it has a significance there of, again, the glory of God.
One of my big questions I had reading through chapter 22 was in verse 10. It says, then he instructed me, do not seal up the prophetic words in this book, for the time is near. And so what is the significance that God instructs John to not seal up the prophecy?
So whenever you hear, we talk Revelation, you hear people say, like, are we in the last days? Right? That's the question. That's the big question. Are we in the last days? Someone that really studies the Bible should understand that we've been in the last days from the moment Jesus ascended into heaven.
Right.
So the reason Jesus, you know, tells John, do not seal this up, or God tells him, don't seal this up, is because this is the last, what do you want to say, season, stage of human history. Mm-hmm. So there really is nothing left. That's why don't seal it up. There's nothing left. This is it. This is the last age. This is the church age. After this, it's done. So there's no... nothing else to come. Don't seal it. Let it be known. Reveal it. Preach it. I think we should take that personally because as Christians, let's make it personal. We have the responsibility not necessarily to go proclaim the prophecy of Revelation, but we are, don't seal up the prophecy of the gospel. Don't seal up the word of the gospel. We do that way too much as Christians. Mm-hmm. We're too, you know, whether fear or insecurity or whatnot, we don't share the gospel, and it's the same message to us. This is the last chance. You know, today might be the last day to share the gospel with somebody. It might be your last moment to take hold of the gospel. You know, and so I think that's something we need to understand is we're always looking forward to when's the last day is going to be it. No, these are the last days. And that's not a statement of like looking at the circumstances in our world, because what's interesting, if you read John and you read Peter and you read Paul, their writings are really clear. They thought Jesus was returning in their lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And that puts an urgency that every single generation of Christians, including ours today, we must live with an urgency that Jesus could return at any moment. And that's why it's like, don't seal this. Like, don't neglect what this is saying, because this can happen at any moment in every generation. The problem is many of us today, and I'm one of them, what do we get very lazy because we say it's been 2,000 years. Mm-hmm. Like, life goes going to go on. But every generation, whether Jesus comes back in our lifetime or another 1,000 years from now, mm-hmm. every generation of Christians should live with the urgency that this is, can happen at any moment.
Yeah.
So that's the way I view that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if Tyler, if you have thoughts, or even Malia, if you have thoughts on that, but
I agree. I read a book called Remember Death by McCullough. And in the preface, he says, I hope you find this book a waste of time, that you don't have to think about the end of your life, that what you actually experience is the return of the Lord, like before you die, that you actually experience the return of the Lord, the sound of the trumpet in your own lifetime.
Oh.
And that was very thought-provoking.
Yes. Sorry to interrupt this like serious, somber moment during our podcast, but I know you had like said, hey, I've got GoPros. We could visually record this podcast. And then I just watched David spill water all over himself. But you're glad we didn't do that, huh?
Well, it would have been fine if we just would have kept going, but since we had to stop the podcast to explain it.
I don't think I'm mentally prepared for a video recording of our podcast yet. I think one of the things I like about it is that it's just audio. It just, you know?
And I want to clarify. I didn't spill water all over myself. A few droplets.
I mean, there's a wet spot. There's a pretty sizable couple wet spots. So I'm just saying.
Sound like a good book, Tyler. We're going to... We're going to get back to what's most important here.
So reading those words, like, I hope this book is a waste of your time, was, here we are. We're just laughing and trying not to laugh.
I'm listening. I'm with it's, you.
I am too. I'm pulling myself together right now. You just keep talking while I'll pull.
That was really the end of my thought.
Oh, man. I tell ya, we are on a good path here.
ready for a week break.
That's right.
Definitely. That's like the perfect time to start a new job, right? Come in here, work hard, and then be like, hey, we're taking a week off. That's perfect. Okay, my next question is, so at the end, verses 18 and 19, Revelation ends with a warning. So how could someone like it? Let's actually go to it. I'll read it. Hold on here. And I solemnly declare to everyone who hears the words of prophecy written in this book, if anyone adds anything to what is written here, God will add to that person the plagues described in this book. And if anyone removes any of the words from this book of prophecy, God will remove that person's share in the tree of life and in the holy city that are described in this book. Mm-hmm. So, how could someone take away the words of Revelation?
Oh, well, taking away, I think, is done a lot when people try to spiritualize what's happening and not make it legitimate thing, or lessen the severity of it. I think that happens a lot where, oh, it's not as bad as you think, or it's not going to be like that. And we've tried to say throughout this entire series, let's just let the Bible speak for itself. And the Bible says this is what it's going to be and this is what it's going to look like. And, you know, mm-hmm. and so when people try to take away from the prophecy by speaking for God, right? Excuse me. And but another thought I would say is, while this is a warning specifically towards Revelation, I believe it's not just towards Revelation. Because notice, these are the last few verses of the entire Bible. Remember, God mm-hmm. is the author of the Bible. We see it as all these individual books. the Bible to God is one. This is my word.
Right.
Right. So I think that warning also equates to the entirety of the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus talked about that. Like, no piece of the word will be removed, you know. And so we also have to look at this not because prophecy, that word prophecy, we turn that into visions of the future. Mm-hmm. Prophecy really means the word of God. These are the words of God, whether it's him describing what's going to happen, what is happening, or what has happened. Like, that's God's word. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, you could read that also saying, do not take anything away from God's word. So we do that. People do that all the time, too. We change the gospel. We change the message of God. What do we hear in our world today about sin? That's not what that really means. That's not what God intended. Right. That was their culture. We're a different culture. We've learned more. Humanity has grown. So that's a warning, not just to Revelation. I believe that's a warning to the entirety of Scripture. You can't add to it, and you can't subtract from it. And if you do, you're going to face, because that's the point, is if you add to or subtract from the gospel, then you're never going to have a right relationship with Jesus. And if you never have a right relationship with Jesus, you're never going to experience eternity with Jesus. That's ultimately the warning. Or if you believe people that add to it or subtract to it, you're never going to know Jesus. So I think that's the way we see that. I would also, you know, Revelation's one of those fun. I've had several people, which this has been really nice. I've appreciated this. I've had several people during this series, especially older saints. And what I mean by that is these are saints that they've come to me and said, I have heard preaching on Revelation many times. And they say, like, I've read it many times. And I've had them say, this is the first time that I've heard it and it makes sense.
Oh, that's great.
It is. I mean, I'm like, I appreciate that. And it also kind of, it's humbling, but at the same time, it's sad, because it makes me wonder. Revelation's one of those books that how many people have added stuff to it or twisted it or try to make it more than it was to sell a book or to sell a...
Yeah, like when the end of the world is going to be.
Yeah, and that's a sad thought. And that, I think that speaks to this too. How many people misleading. Try to use... Yes,
trying to profit.
Or how many people, you know, it's kind of the... Revelation's also another one of those kind of like Moses. So how many people have grown up and they try to take the story of the Bible and they mesh it with what they saw on TV with Charlton Heston? Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's their view of Moses. Mm-hmm. Same thing with many people with Revelation. I'm not speaking anything against it, but it's... They're not really studying Revelation. They're mixing it with, well, I watched this movie once, or I read this book once.
Yeah.
And it's this meshing of just let the Bible speak for the Bible and see the other stuff for really what it is. Many times entertainment.
I think that's how we kind of come to our faith and to Christianity sometimes, is just our life experiences and a little bit of this, a little bit of that, until we finally figure out what the actual truth is. But it does color, I think, our faith a little bit.
So I believe, again, this is a bigger picture, the entirety of the Bible.
Don't
take away, don't...
Do you have thoughts on that, Tyler?
I think I think the adding or subtracting, when this was written, so both in a spiritual sense and in a textual sense, like, so at the time this was written, it was being recorded by hand and would have been copied by hand. So don't add or subtract anything. If you're copying this, don't add or subtract anything. And then also, like, for what we're doing now is reading what we have and kind of expositing the text into sermons and creating that meaning or discernment, discerning what it means. So don't add anything or subtract anything spiritually, and then also at the time it was written, don't add or subtract anything if you are copying this forward to give to somebody else.
That makes sense.
That's a good point. Definitely could happen. So
so I know, Tyler, you kind of jumped in here at the tail end of our Revelation series, and so I don't know, like, what your knowledge is with that book or whatever, but is there anything Like as far as like the doctrine of heaven goes, that you wrestle with, that or anything that you have kind of walked away from just in the few weeks that you've been here,
sure,
through this series.
So I really appreciate David's preaching over the. It feels like I've walked in on or stepped into kind of what is heaven, like what is it really going to look like, and I feel like that is exactly kind of what you were just talking about with how we have created an image of it, like with our own experiences, like what do we think heaven is going to be like? You just mentioned, are we going to be playing pickleball with Jesus? What is it going to look like? And I think the answer to that is something else you said. I don't know. Like, I don't know for sure. The Bible says what the Bible says, and I'm not going to add or subtract anything from that. Mm-hmm. So I came into it with some, I would say worldly ideas of what I think heaven may or may not look like. Mm-hmm. But this is a very, very clear picture of a clear picture that we won't know until we get there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's kind of exciting.
Yeah,
I think it's very exciting. Like you said, I don't want to miss out. In my house, we call that FOMO. Like,
yes, that's a good thing to have FOMO over, I would say.
Yeah. So like I have FOMO of heaven, right? Yeah. Like,
that feels like a good podcast title too.
There you go.
Yeah. So yeah, don't miss out.
And as you were saying that, I think we have to embrace. That heaven, the reason it's called heaven is not because it's about us. I think that's the other thing that Bible shows us here in 21 and 22.
That's a really good perspective.
Christ is the center of heaven. Christ is the meaning of heaven. Christ is the focal point of heaven. And so when you were talking about worldly views of heaven, I'm not saying they're bad, right? But think about a lot of the stuff that we hope or we say we want in heaven. It's us focused.
Absolutely.
And I'm not saying that's wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that can't be the main thing for us. We can speculate, you know. Mm-hmm. It's how many times I can't wait to get to heaven to be with my loved ones. Right? That's not a bad thing.
Right.
That's not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But that's not the main thing. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not the intention. Or I can't wait to get to heaven to get this and to get this and to get this. Yeah, you're going to get all that. You're only going to get it. And you're only going to be reunited with your loved ones because of Jesus. Like, it all goes back to Jesus. Mm-hmm. So that's something as Christians we have to always keep in the forefront. Heaven is only heaven because of Jesus.
Yeah.
It's not because it's made for us and meant for us and we're the focal point and I'm going to get all these things.
Yeah.
He's the focal point. And I think that's where the Bible, that's why most people don't go to the Bible with their view of heaven, because mm-hmm. that's what the Bible shows. Mm-hmm. 21 and 22 is, it's about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
On that note,
I would like to move into the portion of our podcast. It's like a rapid fire questions about us
and
heaven. Okay. Questions that I think you have answered mm-hmm. through various sermons over time, but I think they're just ones that tend to come up when people think about heaven. So you can just answer quickly, like with a yes or a no or whatever. You can elaborate a little bit, but we'll try to keep it short and tight. Okay.
She's telling me to keep it short, so here we go.
Yes. I mean, are you capable of that?
100%.
Okay, ready? Will we be angels?
No.
What will our bodies be like?
I have no clue.
On Sunday.
She's looking at me to like add more.
On Sunday, you kind of alluded to us being smoking hot.
Did I say that?
No, but Malia translation.
I'm pretty sure that's not words that would come out of my mouth.
I've heard different theories, you know, because it's all speculation, because what ages were Adam and Eve, and is that going to be what we're going to be like, and da-da-da.
I'm going to say it this way. We don't know other than this. They'll be perfect.
Yep.
They'll be glorified.
Is it God's view of perfection?
Well, of course, it has to be.
So could it mean that we are still flawed physically, but God sees us perfect, or no?
Well, it depends what you mean by flawed physically. So this is where it gets interesting, right? If the flaw is something caused by sin, then mm-hmm. no. So you think a flaw is of, disabilities, or mm-hmm. I'm blind, deaf, or maybe mentally, mm-hmm. you know. No, because that's all conditions of the sin. Now, if you have somebody that says, well, this mole right here, mm-hmm. that's a flaw. Well, now we're nitpicking.
Okay.
We're nitpicking. Right. Like, again, does that mean God's going to remove all that?
Sure, sure.
I don't know. But then why are we looking at some things as flaws?
Right.
You know, some people will say.
Well, yeah, that's why I'm asking.
And again, that's where I'm, you know, it goes back to what's feeding the thought.
Like, am I going to be disappointed when I get my new body?
If you're disappointed with your new body, then I'm going to say you're not in heaven.
Okay. Awesome.
Ooh. That's a really good thought.
Yeah, I mean, because that's a really good thought. You're bringing disappointment into perfection.
Well, yeah, yeah, okay.
So
I'm going to be happy.
I don't know what it is, but you're...
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So. Did Adam and Eve have belly buttons?
Oh, great question. I don't know. When we get to heaven, you can lift up their shirt and find out. Like, what do you got under there, Adam? I have no clue.
I've seen that one before, and it always makes me laugh.
It is a funny one. It does make me laugh. I have so many questions I want to ask Adam and Eve when I get there, and they're not even questions. They're dumb questions. They're questions like, Adam, did God have to sit you down and explain things to you? Like, after
or did
the
you
fall?
Innately just know?
Well, no, but I think like after the fall. Because you think about things that came into the world after the fall. So it's like, did God have to set Adam down and be like, listen, Adam, there's this thing you're going to get called a stomachache.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's going to suck.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to feel like you're melting because of, like, I'm just, you know, like.
Sure.
So is there things, or did God just, it's like a free for all.
Yeah.
Where it sounds so stupid, but it really intrigues me on what did they experience in going from perfection to fallen.
Yeah.
And did God have to set that down?
Like, it'd be painful.
I don't know. It's and like another question I have for Adam and Eve is, how did it change? Did God stop coming to your presence completely? I mean, because look at the Old Testament. It always says God met and talked. And so was it God was done with you? Or was there still this time where he kept coming into your presence?
Yeah.
There's so much. But the belly button, I'm going to go with no.
Okay.
But you never know.
Okay. Will we recognize one another?
I believe so. I believe we'll recognize one another in who we knew, but I don't. Somebody asked me recently, will I know everyone? This is not based on the Bible. I'm going to say no, because we have an eternity to meet one another. Like, we have an eternity. So you think about the things that keep us from building relationships with each other now, that's all gone. So we don't have to freak out on, oh, you mean I got to go meet with all these people and talk to them? I think we'll want to. So I think we'll recognize those that we knew, but we won't recognize, like, we'll have to get to know each other.
Yeah.
Like, we have eternity to do it.
Will we remember our earthly lives? Like, I'm just thinking, like, things that caused us, you know, sadness and pain.
Okay, this is, I'm going to go with I don't know, but I've read a lot about this where I actually read and listened to some preaching on this where the belief that this preacher was sharing was no, like God will remove memories from us.
Interesting.
Because they base that off of him, there will be no more pain, there'll be no more mourning, there'll be no more crying, right? So God's not going to let us go through eternity with the regrets of life and the pain of life. So their theory is that he removes certain memories from us.
Because it makes me think, like, there's obviously, unfortunately, going to be people that we love that aren't going to be with us.
Yep.
And so, like, to me, if we know that and we remember, like, that, like, how can that not bring us pain?
So this preacher talked about that, too. And again, their theory is that God will remove those memories.
That's kind of sad, though, too.
I thought that, too, when I heard it.
Like, I get it, but...
Here's what I'm going to say. Do I believe God's going to remove those memories or people? No. I don't know. Maybe it has something to
do with, like, how he changes our desires.
That's kind of my
thought. And it's kind of in that vein.
When you're in the presence of God, you see it from the perspective of God.
Yeah.
Is what I kind of lean more towards. Whatever God is able to do, God is able to do where those things don't bring us regret and mourning and grief and... That's the promise. How he does that.
Right.
I don't know.
Right. Will we eat and drink?
I believe so. And the reason I base that on that is twofold. One, it talks about the tree of life. It talks about the fruit mm-hmm. off the tree of life. But then also, I think our bodies are going to be like Jesus's. The Bible talks about that, that
he we comes will back be like and him.
And he came back and mm-hmm. ate. I believe that our eating and drinking is not going to be based upon necessity. It's going to be based upon just pleasure.
Yes.
Like, we get to eat and drink yes. for the enjoyment of it, not love for that. The I need it to sustain right. myself. Like, mm-hmm. now it's we have to have it for life.
Right.
Life is flowing from God in this place, not from mm-hmm. subsistence.
Well, we need sleep.
Man, I hope so. A good nap is heavenly. Yep. I'm going to go with Alan's again, and I don't know, because mm-hmm. I go back to if there's no sun and there's no darkness, it's kind of hard to take a nap sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that our bodies are going to be the same way they are now, where they get tired and they become... Mm-hmm. You know, I don't believe it's going to be necessary. Let's put it that way. Now, if we get to enjoy it because it's something God wants us to enjoy, then great. But I don't believe it'll be necessary.
Okay.
So
nice.
That's my view on that.
What about you, Tyler? Did you have any like burning questions?
No. But I, I'm going to think of this in when you come up with the next set of questions. I had something I was going to say, and I don't remember what it was. Talking about, gosh, we talked about the glory of God, and then... Mm-hmm.
Belly buttons.
Yep, belly buttons. Gosh.
Listen, we always got to keep it lighthearted, you know? We can get super serious, but...
We do, yeah.
I don't know.
It's what keeps Allie coming back.
That's right.
I should have wrote it down. I wrote down some things.
You subtracted it, you mean?
And then I forgot. I forgot. I'm terrible. I'm a terrible contributor.
That's okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Before you say we're officially done, let me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's your just final? Go
back. It's not a final. I just because you told me to be quick. I'm just gonna say this. Going back to question number one. Are we going to be angels? No, because we were never meant to.
Right. And scripture tells us that.
Yes. Angels mm-hmm. are not created in the image of God.
Right.
If you are listening to this, you should not even want to be an angel.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't want to say it lessens who we are, because angels are awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, angels are glorious and they're in the presence of God. But that wasn't our intention. And so that is actually one of the things that kind of bugs me sometimes when... I hope people like
such heaven a pet needed peeve. Another,
it is.
I can't. I want to so bad. Like yeah.
Heaven need another angel.
But I keep my mouth shut.
Yeah. And so again, we shouldn't want that. I just wanted to clarify that. Don't want that.
Right.
Because
they long to be like us.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Right. Isn't that what scripture says?
I mean, long to be able to experience and know what we have. And
mm-hmm.
to want to be an angel, in my personal opinion, I think that's one of the reasons that Satan rebelled. Is because I think he was so glorious because of his exalted position. Mm-hmm. And then when he saw how much emphasis God put on man, I think there was a jealousy there. And that's mm-hmm. why his hatred towards man is so significant, because there's a jealousy there in mm-hmm. our relationship with God. And the other reason I don't want to be an angel is because angels aren't redeemable. Like Jesus didn't die for the sins of the angels.
Right.
Their judgment is secure. Like, I don't want to be an angel. So, yeah. I just wanted to clarify
that. Yes, no, I appreciate that, because that is my number one trigger on Facebook.
She's stupid.
I'm just like, okay, I got to just keep scrolling because, you know, because that's not loving.
And I'm the same way as you, because I have to remind myself that's a reaction for comfort.
Because it feels comforting, and I totally get that.
But it's not truthful.
Right.
So, I just wanted to clarify. Right. It's not truthful.
Yeah.
So.
One really incredible book that I've read that has been helpful when it comes to comforting grieving people, and also that breaks down doctrine like that too, just to have us be thinking rightly about what actually happens. It's a Nancy Guthrie book. It's called What Grieving People Wish You Knew. Mm. And that is probably one of the best resources I would share with you on grief. Yeah, also I know we've talked about it, but I think you're kind of the verdict still out for you on it, but maybe because you haven't read it, Randy Alcorn's Heaven is a really great resource. It's good.
I do really want... The reason I have it, I probably need to get the kid version, like, because it's shorter.
Yeah.
But I have the copy of it.
Yeah.
The
listen to it on, listen to it via audiobook. Okay. That's what I did. And that was much easier to get through.
Yeah. No, I'm not opposed to that book. I've mm-hmm. mentioned it before. The ones I'm, again, like I've said in sermons, I'm right. opposed to is the ones that say, 90 minutes in heaven, and this is what I experienced.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Same.
Here's what I'll say with those. I'm not trying to say they're false, mm-hmm. but don't hold them to biblical standards, right. or to a level of biblical truth.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Read them for what they are, and that is, I don't know, mm-hmm. and don't hold it to this high. That's my only thing with that.
Mm-hmm.
Heaven, though, more he wrote that as, let's go to the Bible. Let's
talk absolutely. About it. Yep. Yep.
Not a, I had a vision and this is my vision.
No, no.
So, and that's why I'm saying I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I like other
I think you'd like books, it. I think you should listen to it. I think you'd really like it.
Yeah.
What audiobook platform is it available?
I am trying to think where I listened to it. I think I listened to it, I don't know if it was on Hoopla. Maybe. I'd have to look.
Okay.
But like it should Libby be available or, anywhere. Yeah, Libby. Okay. You might have to wait for it, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I do like a good audiobook.
My main one I use is Audible, and it's on there.
So. Okay, yeah, I'm not bougie enough for Audible, so I slum it with
freebies.
Yeah, from with the freebies,
public library. Yeah, yeah.
Although I will say Spotify probably too. If you you do Spotify, you can do you get free so many hours of free audiobooks if you subscribe to Spotify. So
yep,
I do like that. All right, before we get off too far on an audiobook tangent, super loved this series so much. It's been so great, especially on the heels of I did several Revelation studies, and so it was nice to kind of have that over a little bit of time, but mm-hmm. to have the series to just walk slowly through it has been so good, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it, and I think everyone in our church congregation would agree. That they've enjoyed it, they learned some things. And yeah, that's just always my favorite way to do things is walking through an entire book.
I mean,
you know, because you get context, you get, it just gets under your skin.
I'm pretty sure this has been half our year, right?
With probably. I can't remember when we started.
I think part one was before summer, or at least into summer.
Okay, because then we switched gears in summer.
Took
right?
a break, and then we started back up fall. So September. Mm-hmm. So we've been in this part of it, September, October, November, December. So I mean, I think it's been half our year.
It's been good. It's a lot, but it's been really good.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to what we're going to be learning next year.
Yeah.
Any spoiler alerts for us, David? This is very self-serving question right now.
self-serving question.
Because she wants to know what graphics.
Because I got to start prepping all that stuff.
Yep.
Type
A.
Yeah, I know. Chances are sometime this next year, we will be doing a series in Genesis.
Yes.
Not the entire, probably not the entirety of Genesis.
Okay.
But it, when I say it, we'll do chapters 1 through 12.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So that covers creation, mm-hmm. the civilization flood. Of man, flood. Gives us that groundwork of, mm-hmm. and one of the big reasons I want to do it is not because I want to speak against evolution, mm-hmm. but I feel that's something that I kind of geek out about, not from a science, I'm not a hardcore scientific guy,
mm-hmm.
but I think that's extremely important in our world today.
Yeah. Well, and it's so foundational.
Yeah.
Just in our theology.
Yes. If someone tries to reject the first chapters of Genesis is mm-hmm. one thing I agree with Ken Ham 100% is the rejection of the first chapters of Genesis, then everything, it's a house of cards. Mm-hmm. Everything else falls now.
Absolutely.
And so I do want to do that. I'm trying to figure out what we're going to do between now and then, because I'm not ready to jump right back into another in depth, because I want to spend some time reading on that too, and just preparation.
Well, absolutely.
And all of that. So,
all right.
And trying my best not to make it like Revelation, where it's, we're adding weeks, like having a better breakdown of the entirety of
I'm
it.
Yeah, I'm not going to discount that, because
it'll still happen. It'll still happen.
All right. Well, we hope everyone has a very Merry Christmas.
Yes.
And a Happy New Year. All of the things. And we will be back at some point in January.
Yes.
Look at me flying by the seat of my pants.
I know. Someday we'll be back. Some moment.
All right, guys.
But invite Christmas Eve.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to plug it. Yes. Yep. Have a great Christmas. But if you're coming for Christmas Eve, we're filling the sanctuary. Bring people. Mm-hmm. So let's fill up the sanctuary.
Let's do it.
It'll be awesome.
All right. Thanks for listening.